Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the African Gents Podcast.
Episode 7, I believe.
Yep.
No.
We are coming to you. It's once again, it's me, Danny Odera.
Me, Dennis Odera.
There you go. Yeah, and let's just crack on, shall we?
Dive into it.
Yeah. We're coming to you right the day after the Super League has capitulated. So, just for listeners to realize, this is going to be heavily football-centered this week.
Because of what has happened, yes.
Yeah, the past 48 hours, like, had the chance to change the game of football. Like, to the point that we've never even
We were actually supposed to pod yesterday, because of the time we normally pod, everything was happening.
Yeah, everything was going down at the time we were supposed to record. I think at that time someone had pulled out.
No.
Oh, no?
No. When we had started, no one had...
But then...
So you can imagine if we had just continued.
Yeah.
And then by the time I finished, everything we said would have been irrelevant or...
Exactly.
Would have just changed.
You'd have speculated about how this league would do for football.
But exactly. Now,
this league is dead.
It's done.
Wow. Wow. Geez, where to begin?
I'm so happy it's not there anymore.
Yeah, same. I'm ecstatic. It's one of those... I had the feeling, but there were points in which, honestly, I was like, I was both on the side of, yeah, it's going to die. But at the same time, I was like, oh, will it though? You know?
Mm-hmm. I knew it was going to die. I just didn't expect it to die so quickly.
Well, actually, yeah, you're right. With how they set off and launched, I was expecting it to last for like maybe a week or something.
I was thinking maybe like not a month. Yeah, not a month.
Of protests. Well, they would have, a month of protests honestly would have taken its toll on fans and supporters. They would,
yeah.
They're broken at that point.
And then I would have thought that teams would have dropped out, but not like one after the other. And one drops out, then 2-3 days later, another. 4-5 days later, another. Sort of. 1 hour later, another.
Yeah. Crazy.
Who were the first ones?
It was Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Then City. Then Arsenal, then Spurs, then us. United. I think United were last.
So it was all of the English teams first?
All the English teams out. Far out, as it stands.
As it stands, yeah.
It's technically not ended.
No.
Although, what, Juventus's president says it's over.
They're out, so I think it's...
Wait, Juve out?
I believe so. Well, I don't know if they... Well, after the statement they made, I don't know if that means they're out.
Oh yeah, that statement.
Yeah.
I don't think it means they're out. I think it just means that it can't continue.
Which is what they were just stating now. Yeah. We were in, but it can't continue, so...
Exactly.
Fair enough. All of the English teams out. AC?
Yeah, AC Milan a couple of hours ago.
Inter were there, right?
Yeah. Inter, whatever the first. No, actually, I think it was AC Milan that came out.
It was AC that came out. I thought Inter was still there. Because I know there are two Spanish teams and there's one.
No, Inter left. I read the official thing. Inter left. I'm just trying to think which one came first. But the one I read first was Inter.
Mm-hmm.
I think AC Milan dropped out as well. It's just Juve. I think right now, as of recording, it's Real, Barca,
yep.
And Juventus.
Oh yeah, it's Juventus. That was the third team.
Yeah, they're saying they don't even have teams for a group stage.
You know, wow.
Like, it's not enough teams to complete one group.
Yeah.
In order to get, like, what?
It's turned into a Konami Cup.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. But a football won. And we're happy.
Guys are saying, see, football won and soccer lost. Because, you know, they were trying to make it so Americanized.
Yeah.
So football won, but soccer was...
Yeah. So soccer tweak, yeah. Football went 1-0 up.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
No, soccer went 1-0 up.
Yeah.
In a comeback.
Just of drastic proportions.
2 goals. Honestly, too quickly.
Perez looking for his subs.
Yeah.
Throwing defenders.
Just too late. But yeah, that crazy. And it's... We're still fully into the fallout of this.
I think it will be for a while.
Yep.
And I think the spotlight now will be a lot of the higher-ups. The boards, the presidents, the owners of the teams now, rather than coaches and players. Because it was not their fault.
But like, wait, the... Yeah, it wasn't the team's fault.
Is there any player or coach that is known that was for this thing?
No. There was... You know, there's one who was just on the fence.
Who?
His dad.
Yeah, but his words, I don't think he was on the fence.
He just didn't say
anything. He was asked about it, but then he said, I'm not the president. Exactly. So I'm not the president. So I'll keep my opinions to myself.
Well, to be fair, knowing Zidane, like, I'm talking like that, yeah, I know him. It's on my phone book. Well, he seems a type of manager.
Or player, he would be like, nah.
I think, yeah, he wouldn't have gone for it.
Yeah, he definitely. He's competitive.
And
he appreciates, like, he loves football.
He loves Champions League.
Yeah, he loves Champions League.
It's his competition.
So, yeah, I can imagine. Wow. So, like, as of right now, still dead in the water.
Yeah.
What
do you think it's going to take for it to...
Oh, no, it's not going away. Cafe was asked this on Sky Sports News. Like, what does this mean for the future? Like, is Super League now gone forever? No. I don't think it's gone forever. It'll never be gone forever. The prospect of doing it will always be there. What I thought was that what they have lost is the Super League teams that I'm talking about. Well, Perez for that matter. What he has lost is essentially the opportunity to use the pandemic as an excuse. Like, I don't see there being another scenario in which the top clubs in Europe will have lost this much money for them to come together, create a separate competition like this. Because essentially he was saying he created this on the back of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Saying we all lost a lot of money in the pandemic.
Yep.
So let's create a competition that essentially will give us, he said basically will give us money.
Yeah.
He was trying to talk about like trickle down economics, which does not work and has never worked.
Yeah.
So that's what he was going for. I believe now, because whether people like it or not, eventually the top 6 teams will recover from this. All those top teams in that category, they will recover.
Yeah,
the money will come back in some way, shape, or form. Like if nothing changes, and essentially everyone just gets a slap on the wrist and says, "Don't do that again."
Especially if fans come back as well.
Oh yeah,
into stadiums.
Exactly. I mean, next season that's what the Premier is pushing for, fans to come back, and then once fans come back, they'll start making money again.
Teams can recover.
Yeah. So Perez will lose this excuse. So if he tries to formulate one like this in the future, now it'll just be purely on the side of greed. He can't use the pandemic as an excuse
anymore. Not like it was not on the side of greed already.
You know, but
it would be more obvious now.
Yeah, exactly. he was using the pandemic because everyone lost money and so did we.
I think that's why he took advantage and capitalized off
now. Exactly. Because, the argument loses weight.
Yeah.
Once the pandemic finishes or eases.
Yeah.
I think he
loses his reasoning.
Exactly. So, I don't think it will go away. It's just that the argument will change. The argument for it will change.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not even that long from the last time we tried to oppose this.
Because I remember him talking about this. Yeah, and it wasn't a long time ago.
Months ago.
Yeah. A
couple of months ago he talked about this.
I think, I have a feeling he was holding on to it for long, but just waiting to find the right moment to break it out.
Yeah.
And then I think he was starting to see, okay, now pandemics in some places are now, it's now teetering up. So if I say this now, maybe teams will get on board.
Yeah.
Shock on him.
Also, maybe he was trying to create the competition, like finalize everything such that like when fans come back, now the Super League is beginning.
Yeah. So he wanted like, fans to come back
to the Super League. Instead of waiting and then starting.
Yeah.
Just go ahead.
If this thing would have gone on, when was it supposed to happen? Like immediately?
They just said as soon as.
Practice. As soon as, yeah. So let's say it started August.
Next year.
This August.
Okay.
Yeah, like they forced it through. Teams protested, heckled, everything, but they forced it through. And then now, by that time, teams are allowing fans back into stadiums. Do you think fans would have gone to watch Super League games?
No.
Don't think so.
The Super League games were supposed to happen exactly the same time, or same day rather, as Champions League games.
Oh.
As in, they wanted it to be its direct competitor.
Yeah, that was not gonna...
it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Because they said they wanted midweek games, yeah?
Yeah.
If Champions League has Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah, it's true.
And their games on Mondays.
And Europa is on Thursday.
Where else are they going to put their games?
Yeah, true. And you can't put them over the weekend because...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, okay. It's not like... Because in their mind, their teams would not be in Champions League.
Yeah, but they'd still be in the domestic leagues.
They'd be still in the domestic league, but they wouldn't be in Champions League.
Yeah.
So, like, midweek, yeah, essentially the fans of those top teams would actually only have one. Your team is only playing in one competition, essentially.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think fans would have got four. Nah. There's something about...
I think they would have protested at those games.
Oh, yeah. They're protested, but
I think to a point where maybe the players as well.
The players, I think they would have struck.
Stroke. Stroked.
Striked. Yes, that's what they would have had a strike.
Yeah,
I think Jordan Henderson calling that meeting was like essentially going to be now. Starting that process.
I really wonder what that meeting would have been like.
I think all the 14 teams have just told these guys, you guys, you know that this is fucked up, yeah. And they were like, yeah, we know.
We know. And
what can we do?
Yeah, we have no say.
Tell us, help us, exactly.
This is why this meeting is here.
Yeah.
So how can we now...
Come together.
Exactly.
And stop this as players. Yeah. So, probably.
Actually, that being said, if they would have done that... Then I think they would have agreed there. Okay, the team's in the big six. Yeah, if these games happen, we just tell our players, our coaches are behind us. We're not gonna. We will strike with these matches.
Yeah.
Then now I think that's what I was expecting to happen. Then now the competition would have
capitulated.
Yeah, from there. But I didn't expect teams to get cold feet and then just begin snaking so quickly.
I've heard different theories of what happened. Apparently. According to Sky Sports News, it's Kavli again.
Mm-hmm. When he's there, you know it's deep. It's deep.
No. It's the other guy who I know. It's deep. The other guy that do the deep.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I know. Oh, some serious shit is going down. What's he? what he had heard was that the owners of some teams had been lied to,
mm-hmm.
to some degree. He's of the mind that essentially this was pushed through by the Americans.
Yeah.
The Glazers, John Henry, and
JP Morgan.
No, the American owners.
Yeah, but I have a feeling they also were pushing for it.
I don't think so. I think they were pushing for it in terms of they are seeing an investment opportunity.
Yeah.
But not like heavily pushing.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, they just came out and said we're the ones who are sponsoring this whole thing.
Yeah.
But not necessarily like pushing it the way the owners were pushing it.
Like, it's essentially they're there as the sponsor.
Yeah.
Like, everyone asks how you guys are going to pay for this, this point GP
movie. These chaps.
Yeah. It's like, it's the Glazers, John Henry, and who? There's another American owner, Stan Kroenke. Yeah. So, essentially, they are the ones who are the driving force behind all this. Then, City and Chelsea were brought in later. Perez.
Yep.
So, essentially, City were brought in of the mind that this is not necessarily, we're not starting a Super League tomorrow, but, like, plans, they were brought in with the assumption that this, how this will, my goodness, why is English so hard to do? They were looking to create the league or create a way for European football to recover from this situation, and they were told that the Super League was one of the ways in which they're going to do it. And then there was.
Okay, I just find that an excuse.
No, I mean.
Like I'm saying, that's what they said, but I think it really sounds like an excuse just to get the competition going. Or teams need to recover.
No, this is what the Americans told.
Oh, now the owners.
This is what the American owners told City and Chelsea.
Yeah.
That we're not saying we're going to start it soon.
Mm.
We're saying that we need to create something to reinvigorate European football.
Yeah.
So when the announcement dropped and everything was put out, and then like zero explanation, and then the people behind it essentially didn't say anything. They hid.
Yeah.
The American was just blue-ticked everyone and just disappeared. Perez had a shambolic interview which painted this league even worse.
Yep.
So then at that point, I guess it was just damage control for guys of City and just
like, it was.
Nah, we can't sign up to this.
Yeah, especially after that Perez interview. They were like, oh man.
I think that's when everyone realized, oh man, this is...
He spoke like he really didn't have a plan behind how to control this thing. He had initiation in his mind, but didn't necessarily have how this thing would be run through from start to finish. He just wanted to get it started. Because then he almost sounded like he was just making things up on the spot.
Basically, I think so. He was speaking like the president of Real Madrid. To Real Madrid supporters.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
He thought in his mind,
he's speaking to his people. Exactly. And they're behind him.
But everyone across the globe.
Exactly. He was speaking now to neutrals, for guys who are against him.
Exactly.
So he was already on the back foot before the interview.
It was awful. It was so bad.
This guy was talking about now changing minutes because people feel the games are too long. We should now think about changing the minutes of football. Like, come on, man.
He's saying we'll create our own World Cup if players are not allowed to play in them. Like,
what kind of nonsense is that?
Talk you out of his ass. Out of his ass, rather. Yeah, I think that was essentially the straw that broke the camel's back. And then that's when City just like, nope. Nah, we have to get out. We have to leave.
Can't be part of this.
Yep.
I just wonder, because they say that they were not expecting the backlash, blah, blah, which I find very surprising. But now they're going to go back.
Maybe the way it was sold to them.
No. The likes of Juve and Perez.
They were not expecting backlash?
Yeah. like they were not expecting backlash to this degree, where now teams would start falling off 48 hours after they announce it.
You see, the problem with such people, when you live inside your own bubble.
That's exactly what their problem is. Inside their own bubble.
No one, like,
they're only seeing one dimension of things.
Yeah, because how they're, I mean, Perez has been president for like how long?
Yeah, years, and if I'm not wrong, this is either his second or third stint.
Exactly. No, it's more. It's like his third, I think.
Yeah, not like continuous.
Yeah.
Because he was president way back.
Oh.
Then yeah.
Oh, for real? Down
for a while. I think there were a couple of presidents. Then he came back.
Jeez.
Yeah. So he's been here for like a number of years.
So I think he's like surrounded himself with like a whole bunch of yes men.
Yeah, especially within that club.
Exactly. So it's just essentially it's an echo chamber.
Yeah.
Like, there's no differing opinions.
This is a guy whose philosophy for the team was to bring... He's trying to create a Galactico for a league.
Yeah.
Because that's his philosophy of bringing all the best players in the world into one team. So now bring all the best teams in the world into one league. Yeah.
It's not how it works.
Yeah.
It's just in theory... The Super League doesn't make sense. If all games are big games, no games are big games.
Exactly. That's especially if you're watching those games on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
Like every week.
Yeah.
It loses the touch of it being a big game.
It removes all of it. Then the games are not big games anymore.
Exactly.
They're literally just league games.
They're just league games. And it loses...
All of it. Yeah. All that luster and everything. It's stupid.
Because then you'd find teams in the Super League... If they were still in their domestic competition, imagine now like Barca versus City. But then now City have the Manchester Derby over the weekend, and that's now a title deciding fixture. See, they'll rest players in this Super League.
Yeah, of course.
So that they can play that Manchester Derby.
Yeah, of course.
Because this game happens, because they know it can happen every season. They'll be there regardless.
Exactly.
Yeah, so then he just loses. He would have just lost.
Yeah.
It feels so quickly.
You know, I'd actually even never thought of it like that, actually. You're right.
Because that was the idea. It would run concurrently with their domestic competitions.
Yeah.
So now down the line, when these guys have a bigger match over the weekend, and then now it's
No. The way the league is structured is, it's a league format, but then it turns into knockouts at some point.
Yeah, but now... Okay, yeah.
So... Like, if you have a knockout game compared to a league game.
But how many legs was this one supposed to have for the knockout?
I don't know.
I'm guessing it didn't go that far.
Fair enough. But, no, they did. They did. They said home and away fixtures.
Okay.
Because, I mean, everyone loves home and away legs.
Yeah.
But I don't... Players will probably, like, kill their away goals or something. Like
yeah.
Saying we're different. We're not Champions League.
Or he wouldn't kill it. He'd just switch it up somehow. Like, every away goal gives you...
You'd have improved that 3 goals you win.
That month. Yeah.
You just make it FIFA Street.
with 70 minutes
exactly. In a game.
Insane.
It's insane. But now, the more I talk about it, the more I'd be interested. Loki.
Just to see how it would pan out.
See how it would pan out, yeah. Exactly. But, yeah, but not at the expense of our own game. I think, yeah, it was never going to work.
How do you feel about your club?
It's like I watched us play Leeds totally numb. I didn't care, and a lot of people didn't care. Like, I don't even remember that game all that much. I was just so disappointed. Like, I was like. There was that rush of, oh, we scored a goal. I'm like, yes. But then I realized,
yeah.
You felt dirty celebrating that goal.
Yeah.
And that's not great. It's not great. Now, after
when you feel that way as a football fan, especially when your team scores, then something is very wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I knew, like, even when we conceded, like, late in the game and then we ended up drawing, I wasn't disappointed. I was like, yeah, we deserve this.
Yeah, that is very wrong.
That's awful. Yeah. Like, even right now, the season has a bad taste in my mouth. Like,
yeah.
If you qualify, somehow mid top 4, it doesn't feel right.
Justified.
I mean, granted, like, nothing necessarily happened.
Yeah.
Like, we've had a shit season. But, like, here's the thing. If we make top four, we earned it on the pitch.
Mm.
But the way things happen, it doesn't... There's a bad taste to leave in people's mouths if we... But if we make top four again.
Yeah.
At the expense of course, like, Leicester and West Ham. Like, it's for the betterment of the league. One of those two should be in the top four. Just, it would seem nice just to drive the point home.
Yeah.
About how the Super League is essentially a waste of time. Because, like, what? 7 of them?
Mm-hmm.
2 games this weekend?
Mm.
Which is stupid if you actually think about it.
Yeah.
How did you feel? I mean, you haven't watched your team play yet.
Well, yeah. But with us, it's funny. From, as a football fan, like, the core, for the love of the game, it was terrible. Like, I was wounded. Felt like the sport was betraying a fan. Especially with what these guys were trying to do. It was terrible. But seeing our club there, first of all, I knew we'd be there because of the history of our last president.
Yeah.
He put us in this situation.
Yeah.
So that I was angry about. But then I could see why, how do I put this? I can understand why some of our fans would be okay with it happening. Just from, it's all, definitely all to do with greed. Now, I was just thinking about our club only. Yes, yeah. Just on that basis, they'd be happy with it because our club is in debt. Seeing the money that these guys said that every club will get just for participating would help our club tremendously. It would put us back in the green in terms of our finances, meaning we can get a good enough sporting project, one that we've been lacking for so long. I don't think Messi, well, even that one, who's to say, but we'd have been more attractive as a club with money, and now we're back in there with finances. We're healthy again out of Bartomeu's nonsense that he put us through. That's from a selfish, greedy Barca fan's perspective. Because, like, okay, now we're back into the green from the trash that we've been through. From a football fan perspective, it was a bad idea. Our president handled it, still handling it, I think, very well.
He hasn't said anything.
He has. But it's like 2 sentences. He says that if this thing goes through, we as a club, we have to take it to the socios to vote on it because it's their club. That's what he said.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's saying, yeah, it's not my decision. It's the decision of the socios, the fans, since it's a club run by, you know, members of the club, yeah, and the fans. Yeah. So it would go to a vote. These guys would vote on it. I have my thoughts and everything, but that's how the club is run. Which is good, because now he knows the morals of the club.
Yeah.
But you may would have been like, may I sign this thing? We're going.
Yeah. We're doing it.
When do we start?
Yeah.
Yeah, who are we facing first? Just to save his own ass. So I think Laporte has handled it well. As it stands, I think we're still, which is a very, most of the Spanish teams are doing the same. We are not as vocal as Premier League teams. With football things, this is a good example. When things like this happen, we're not as vocal as football fans in England are, because for them, football is like a language in England. For us, it's like
a way of life.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a lifestyle. In Spain, it's an activity. You get, like, it's a topic, you know, it's something that we do in our pastime that we enjoy, but it's not taken as seriously as it is in England.
Yeah.
So most of the Spanish teams are now just sitting back and just watching everything happen. That's why many guys are wondering, oh, what are these guys going to say? What are these guys going to say? They were like, no, we'll just watch and see this thing. Then depending on how things go, then now we can be vocal. That's why you really, apart from Perez, you didn't hear much from our side. You didn't hear much from Atleti's side. Atleti just said when this thing was there, okay, yeah, you know what, Gasquet is leaving. No more, no less. But English teams were the ones who are more vocal. From their captains to some of their coaches spoke about it. Don't remember any player or coach from La Liga having said anything.
No, La Liga's president said a lot, actually.
Yeah, and I'm now coaches of teams.
La Liga?
Yeah.
No, there were some. Like, today I've seen what De Villa Real coach said about Perez?
Because he has a game, I think, tonight or tomorrow. So they asked that, yeah, press conference. They had to. It's not like they came out and spoke. Okay, there was no Hendo who was calling a meeting. There was no, okay, I think even Pep was his press conference. But they were a lot more vocal about it than the Spanish guys were.
Yeah.
So they were just sitting back, watching it happen. I don't think a lot of them were for it anyway, but they were just seeing how it would play out. And now that it's not playing out well, they'll be like, okay, yeah, even us, we'll just drop out.
Essentially, we'll let someone else fight the battle.
Exactly. Yeah. Why should we scream when others are screaming?
Yeah.
Just see what they're screaming about. And then when they're done screaming, then we can offer our opinion.
I guess. Although that's dangerous, because it would need, sometimes the combined screaming is what's needed to be loud enough.
Yeah, true. But you're more passionate about the screaming. So I don't need to put effort in my screaming. If you can scream for me, you get. Although I don't think that's what was the case was.
Yeah,
but
I know.
For some of them, that was kind of their thing.
Right. I get that.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything from Italians at all until today.
Apart from Juventus.
Yeah. No, I mean, but you all knew Juventus.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't hear, well, probably because of, like, our circles, in essence, like our social media circles, is what I mean. So, like, I didn't hear anything from, like, how AC Milan fans or Inter fans were feeling.
Yeah, I wonder how Italian fans were feeling.
Well, actually, I went on the, when I was reading Inter's thing, there were a lot that were not happy. They were happy that it reconsidered and left.
Mm-hmm.
So, there was a feeling that they were, I think it's essentially what you were saying, there were no, like, protests and marches, just, there was noise, but not as loud as there was in England.
Yeah.
Because in England, it's a working class game.
You know?
It's where football began.
Yeah.
And they felt like the game was being taken away from them.
And there was backing from the government as well.
Like, yeah, but I don't think that was it. Even if Boris didn't say anything.
He would have still definitely. But the fact that it then became political.
It helped.
It helps.
I think that's for sure.
But then it just showed how much England also was more vocal.
It also helped. I think that was the big thing that made now the English teams, actually.
Yeah.
It was when Boris don't start talking about now, like, legislation.
Mm-hmm.
It comes to ownership.
Yeah.
We're like, oh no. Shit, let's get out now so that we keep things as is and not fuck things over for.
Yeah.
Because now he's really considering the 50+1 rule.
So yeah.
Really considering implementing it. It's a lot of fans would be like, yeah. A lot of fans are for, but there's the danger of if you create the system, you're essentially now locking in the top six for eternity. As being the top six.
Yeah.
Nothing will ever change that. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like, now you're locking out the chance of, like, Leicester being bought out by someone. And
At
least now becoming, like, essentially what happened to City.
Yeah.
Now you're essentially cementing now these are the top teams in England and they shall be the top teams forevermore.
Yeah.
Which is dangerous.
Yeah.
What I still think they should do is what John Barnes suggested.
Salary caps.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That would help somewhat. Because now the best players would literally have to go to a team for another reason other than their wages.
Understand?
So, like, there's no difference between Iheanacho signing for Leicester or signing for, like, Liverpool. So
yeah.
They're paid the same.
Yeah.
Or, like, the most... Well, there's a cap in which he's going to be paid.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll move for, like, the more money, but, you know, like, there's no one who's going to get a stupid amount of money.
Yeah. I think it would also just flush out the number of footballers that are in it for
the money.
Yeah. There's some in there. Salary caps are exposed.
Many. There's so many.
A number of them.
Yes. Gareth Bale.
Yeah.
That guy is in it for the dough.
In my opinion, all the guys who went to China...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who were not yet at that point of their careers where you're making those MLS moves.
Yeah. I respect the guys who go to China and then come back.
Yeah.
Because we know it was a money thing.
Yeah.
But like, okay, now I've set my family up for life.
Yeah.
Let me come and now.
Now I can enjoy, like, enjoy my the game, yeah.
Exactly. Guys, like Fellaini who go to China now stay there.
Exactly.
I mean, whatever. Like, we all know why you went.
Everyone knows where he went.
We know why he went. But it's I mean, to each their own, man. Sometimes they have their own reasons.
They do. They do. I mean, you don't know what they're going through, what their families are going through. So if they're also, considering the fact that football, it's only until what, their mid-30s. If you're lucky, your late-30s.
Depending on your position.
Depending on your position as well. So if some of them have not made their bank or have not...
Managed it well.
Exactly. So then when an opportunity comes where they can earn a lot of money that could set their futures up well, they take it.
Yeah.
But then it's always good to see those ones who are not in it for the money, just for the love of the game.
Yeah, that's true. But then, yeah, I agree. But then sometimes you can do both.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're too good, of course, you can be paid the most.
Yeah.
I mean, Messi, for
instance. Yeah.
Like, we know, we all know he loves football.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that he's so good at it, though, so he's paid the best.
Yeah.
But even if you asked him now, like, I mean, of course, if you asked him now, take a pay cut, like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, like, for him, yeah, it's never been about the money.
If he's, playing football in a good team that's competitive,
that's what he wants. And he's happy. And like, you can tell people like that is in it for the love of the game.
Then, after all that, is all those boxes that ticked. That's when he comes out. Okay, so how much will you make?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to say Ronaldo. Although he kind of is. Although, I think his is more ego-driven than money.
It's ego-driven. It's ego-driven. Like,
he wants a lot of money. Assuming, so that I know the guy.
Allegedly.
Exactly, allegedly. He wants to earn the most at the club. Not necessarily because it's a lot of money. But he wants to be the one that earns the most.
Yeah, like, he wants to be number one.
For argument's sake, let's say... The highest end of said club was 100,000, yeah?
Yeah.
He wants to earn 200,000.
Yeah.
Not because of the figure.
Yeah.
Like, I want to earn.
Yeah, I want.
So even if you go to another club, like the highest earner was being paid 50,000.
You'd
like,
want to be paid 70. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's ego driven.
It's ego driven. It's not about that. It's just like, I need to be the guy.
Yeah.
It is interesting.
It's interesting. It works for him because he...
That's how he operates.
And he can back it up as well.
Yeah.
Because you know he's good on the pitch.
Yeah.
So you know what you're paying that extra
like,
for.
Even if you... Like, I mean, because when he was at Madrid, of course now his transfer fee got eclipsed by Bale. And then eclipsed by someone else.
I think there were a lot of people.
Like, he was... At some point, it was a lot expensive.
He was. Yeah. Now I think really he's like 7th or 8th.
He'd be lucky to drop top 10.
Yeah.
So... in that regard, he kept playing.
Yeah, he did.
It's like it's not like he threw a fit.
Yeah. That's I bet he kind of felt somewhere about it though.
Of course he did. But was he the highest paid at Real Madrid?
Was he?
Highest paid player at Real Madrid.
Yes. Yeah, he was.
Wasn't Sergio Ramos?
No. Sergio Ramos, when Ronaldo came, I'm assuming, because of course I'm not a big fan of this club.
Yeah.
I'm assuming every time he would renew his contract, there was a bump in salary. I don't think Ramos was ever highest paid.
Not now.
Well, I think he's fighting for it now.
So who's the highest paid?
It might be him. Might be him.
Might but I think him. He is now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't make sense for anyone else not to be.
Yeah.
But,
I think, he is. But again, like I said, it's not like I follow this club.
Yeah. No, I was trying to remember who I was giving this. Anyway, he was or Cristiano Ronaldo. He was still banging goals.
Yeah.
Still breaking records.
Mm-hmm.
Even though
still playing well.
Even though he was playing immensely. Even though he was surpassed in terms of, I guess.
Yeah.
He was like, it's cool.
But even because I know even to him, there was a point where, I can be angry about not being the most expensive player in the world anymore. But some of those figures for now, these expensive players are just ridiculous.
Yeah. I think also that helped. Well.
Yeah, he's like, okay, can I come on? Yeah, there's no way. Like that guy?
Nah. Yeah, exactly.
It's like...
comparing himself to Usman, honestly.
Usman, Coutinho,
yeah,
and the likes. It's like, come on.
That's stupid.
Like, those are ridiculous amounts. So now he's looking at those teams like, those guys are idiots for paying that amount of money.
Yeah.
So when it comes to transfer fees, especially now, I don't think he's too bummed about it. Because of the whole inflation.
It's all about the wages now.
Yeah. Salary caps would help.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I think that would help.
Apparently the rumors is going to leave.
Yeah, they are. I think he'll stay one more season.
Is his contract up next season, actually?
I don't know. I don't think so. But there was just, it was his wages as well, because Juve were like, okay, now you're a bit expensive that are paying you this amount every year, because even them, they had suffered from the pandemic.
I mean, everyone has.
Yeah, everyone has. But then they were like, okay, yeah, we can pay you, but like, do you mind taking like a small cut or, if you cause too much about it, then... And some of the fans were not helping as well. Some of the fans were like, nah, this guy needs to leave.
No.
Fickle football fans.
I don't understand that. I'll never understand teams...
Fickle football fans.
...fans that are upset with the likes of, like, Ronaldo. He's, like, literally, statistically, your best player.
Yeah, I don't understand. He is
literally carrying your team.
Yep.
Why do you want him to leave?
Like, I say, oh, no, this guy's old, let him leave. I guarantee you that guy, any team would take that home.
Cristiano.
Any team.
In an instant.
Any team would take him.
Especially now.
Yeah, and me as a Barca fan saying this, any team would take him.
He can still go.
Yeah.
He can still go. And
even just his attitude for the game as well.
That's the thing.
Yeah. You need that kind of a player in your locker room.
Yeah.
Look you're at how he's captain. In Portugal. Exactly. Yeah.
You're buying a captain.
You should have a captain.
Like, I mean, okay, he'd never join. And signing him would just be against our ethos completely. Although, wait, is he signed to Nike?
Yeah, he is. Oh, yeah.
Of course, he's signed to Nike. They're like intertwined.
Yeah.
No. Ties to United, there's no way.
There's no way.
One country. But it'd be crazy.
There's no way for us.
There's no way. No way. No way for you guys. He'd probably go back to United if he came back.
There were rumors of him going back to Madrid.
No. I think Perez is past that.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I don't think they left on the best of terms either.
Nope. That's the reason why he left.
Yeah, so I don't... If he leaves, he's either going to America or he's going back to United.
I think he's going to go to America.
Welcoming back.
Yeah, open arms. Yeah.
He'd be what they need because Cavani's going.
Cavani's going, yeah.
So 7-for-7 again. It's Bale all over again. Yeah. Going back 2005, man.
You know.
Yes, run it back.
It would be good to see, actually, him back at United. Just before now, like, he heads off to like MLS.
Yeah. Like one more goal. Like homecoming.
Yeah.
Yeah, just one more lap.
And you'd be capable of banging in like 20 plus goals in a season.
He'd get like 21 goals.
Yeah.
If he comes back, he'd get like 21 goals. Easy. He'd be up there competing with Kane and Salah.
For sure.
If United play how they're playing now, he's Bruno and Ronaldo together.
Well, that's Portugal.
Yeah, I know, it's true. Actually, you're right. It'd be dangerous.
Yeah.
It'd be very dangerous.
I think Pogba would also get excited playing with him.
Oh, man. The market value of that club would go up significantly.
It would.
They'd become a thing.
Then imagine now if they get Sancho. if they manage to get Sancho. Now pushing.
That's too much money. I can't. It depends how Ronaldo comes. If he comes on a
free, if he comes on a free,
then Sancho is
doable. Yeah.
I still don't see him. I think the Sancho ship has sailed.
For United.
Yeah. And I think he never really wanted to go there.
Where did he really want to go?
Chelsea.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
His home, hometown.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, it was more of Chelsea had signed so many people at that time.
Yeah.
That there's no way they're going to. Although they have, all these clubs have stupid money. So, he could have done it if he wanted to. Roman Abramovich.
Yeah, if he wanted to. But I don't think Sancho was. He didn't mind staying at Dortmund. It's not like he wanted to.
He's lucky he's young.
That's the thing. He has time.
Him and Haaland are very, like, they have time.
Yeah.
So they can literally ride out this wave and then leave. They can. When they hit their peak, they can now go for the most money and where they really wanted to go.
Yeah, at a top club.
Yeah. I think both of them would probably run out of the contract rather than be sold for. It depends, though.
It depends.
Depends. Because then such clubs will now try and tie them up for like a 5-year contract.
Yeah. Curious to see now how that Haaland situation would have developed if the Super League was there. Because there was no German clubs in it.
No, Haaland is a Champions League guy.
Exactly. So he would have stayed at Dortmund.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
If they make it.
If they make it. Now that's the thing. So now if they didn't, there's a Super League.
Nah,
still. He would have probably gone to Bayern.
He'd have gone to Bayern. He'd have gone to Bayern. Beautiful Lewandowski, though. No?
Yeah.
Because that's just the direct
replacement. Yeah, you found your replacement.
Exactly.
Lewandowski goes then to Dortmund. Back home.
Don't be surprised that happens, by the way.
Yeah, I won't be surprised.
Because I'm struggling to think what will happen after Lewandowski's done. Although, you know, he's still top scorer in Europe.
Can you imagine? It's some ridiculous figure of goals.
Oh, man, that guy is crazy. He's back in training.
Yeah.
I think Bayern need like 2 more games to win the Bundesliga.
I think those guys won it. In December.
They're getting used to saying this every
year. Every time. I think it's going to be there, what, the 9th consecutive Bundesliga win?
Yeah.
Jesus. Who was before them?
Huh?
Who was the last team besides Bayern to win?
Dortmund.
It was Dortmund. Then before that, it was Bayern 9 times.
No, actually, well, I think in the 90s, Dortmund won at some point. And then there was a time, I want to say, Leverkusen won at some point. Beyond that, I'm not too sure. Mm. But the Bundesliga used to be exciting until Bayern literally started buying the league's best players.
So they'd face their rivals, but they're buying players from
their rivals. Yeah. Like, Bayern would lose 3-0 to a team and be like, oh, okay, January.
They scored against us?
Exactly. Yeah. Sign those guys in January. Let them run out the season with that team.
But just know that they're coming to us.
It's awful. I hate that. But, I mean, they say they're helping the league.
I don't see how.
On paper, they are on paper. Like, financially, they're helping the league. In terms of competition, no way. It's to the league's detriment. Financially, because they're giving the lower clubs money, essentially.
Yeah.
That's why financially, so.
Oh, yeah, right.
To, you know, put the money to good use and all that stuff.
That's why they don't mind selling.
They don't mind selling to Bayern, because,
they're getting good money for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. In terms of competition, though.
Yeah. Unless the league is not looking at it from a competition's point of view.
They stopped, I think.
Yeah.
I think they believe, again, this is just my assumption, that they have a better chance of proving themselves in Europe than locally.
Okay. Which is what they're going for.
Yeah. Like, Bayern might be the best in Germany, Like, we know that Bayern are better than us, but yeah, we are better than these other guys.
Yeah. So that's what they want to prove.
Exactly. So,
that
the
makes
Bundesliga
sense.
Essentially is the best league in the world to them.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like, Bayern are the number one, but we are better than everyone else.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going, that's the mindset they're going to Europe thinking.
Yeah. And also probably why they didn't go into the Super League.
Yeah. Like, we are a Super League.
Yeah. Because guys were even saying, like, it's not a Super League if Bayern are not
in it. It's not a European Super
League. It's not, exactly.
Without the European champions.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
No, yeah, exactly. It's not a Super League. Exactly. The world champions.
The European finalists, actually.
Yeah,
both PSG and Bayern. Because then you can't really call it a Super League.
No, yeah, exactly.
Because those are heavyweights that are not there.
Yeah. The best game of this season, of European competition this season.
Yeah.
The best two games.
Yeah.
And you're telling me those two teams are not... Why are we here? It is crazily ironic when it comes to Perez saying that people 16 to 24 years are bored with football. Maybe they're bored with your football.
I think so.
Maybe Real Madrid's football is boring.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, it kind of is. Watch two of their games. It's not exciting. I mean, I'm saying the games they played us. That's literally what I'm basing my opinion on.
But you're right, because he just... Again, it's this whole bubble thing. He only sees the things around him.
Exactly. And then everyone around him agrees with him,
yeah. Without telling him, hey, my guy, this is...
Yeah.
This is what's actually going on.
Basically, it's Vince McMahon. If he was in
yeah, that's essentially...
If he was in charge of a football club, this is essentially what he did. He literally did buy out his competition.
Yep.
Just become a monopoly.
That's his philosophy. He does that. He's done it with his team.
Exactly.
Yeah. Buy the best from wherever. Combine them to form a super team.
Yeah.
So then now just do it with Ali. It's just him. I'm not surprised, like, he was supposed to be president for it. Right? Chairman. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm happy it didn't go through. It's a win for football.
Oh, yeah. But now we have another Super League of our own to deal with. The Champions League.
Yeah.
Because this new format is junk.
I've not looked at it in depth. But just what you're telling me off mic. It doesn't sound... Well, I don't think it sounds bad.
There's some good parts, there's some bad parts.
Yeah.
Okay, for listeners, I will try and explain to the best of my knowledge. So, in the new system, which will be implemented in 2024, teams in Europe, in the Champions League, will go from 32 teams to 36. But now, there will be essentially, now it will be a league format. Everyone will play each other twice. I think it's twice. So yeah, it's twice because the club was complaining about there being more games. So first, once the league is completed, the teams that finish first to eighth go through to a round of 16 automatically. And then from 9th to 24th, too many teams. From 9th to 24th, now those teams enter a playoffs.
So from 25 to 36, those teams out?
I think so. I think. Oh, yeah. Yeah. From 24 to, yeah, from 24 to 36, those teams out. Now 8 to 24 go through the playoff system. Now the 8 teams that progress now go against now the top 8 teams that qualified earlier. And then that's your knockout stages. I assume there'll be a draw at that point.
Yeah, I think so.
And they
wouldn't
just put, like, the number one seeded team against the guys who are literally 24th. I assume. But that, in essence, is the new... They call it the Swiss model.
Mm-hmm.
That, in essence, is what it is. It's supposed to be implemented in 2024, so... But we can still fight it. Now, the controversy, it sounds like... I'm not opposed to that system.
Yeah.
What is annoying me is more teams, which means more games. which means your players will get injured and tired more.
Yep. Especially the ones in England that have an extra competition.
Exactly. It's the way you qualify is now what people are having a problem with. So,
qualify for now this new format.
Yes. There are some teams will qualify via their performance last year, which I don't have a problem with.
Yeah.
Then some other teams, then I think there are two positions which a team can qualify via their UEFA coefficient.
That's the one that is
rubbish.
Yeah, that's the one that I don't like.
So, as people are saying, with the current model, with the new model there, what they want to implement, Spurs and Arsenal would be in Champions League next season, mm-hmm. despite their current league position. We'll be there.
Yeah.
Because we literally won it like two seasons. And our coefficient is quite high.
Yeah.
So, essentially, you're almost locking out a way into the competition. I think the conventional ways to qualify are still there, like by the qualifiers and everything. But I feel like now, I think, according to what I read, now that number has been sliced a bit. Just also so that now they can also funnel some teams into the Conference League.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Exactly.
Because now there's literally another competition. Yeah. So that's why they want to now slice that a bit. So essentially, so that guys competing in Champions League are literally the top yep. echelon of European quality.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, it's hit and miss. I dig the league format. I wish they did this with 32 right now.
If
have it be literally a Champions League, but like now with the 1-32, have that league format right now. Just do that.
Yeah.
Don't expand the team just yet.
Mm.
Have like guys qualify like the conventional way that they always have.
Mm.
If you change that format, I'd be game. I like that. It's a cool idea. And in that way, you do it accomplishes what they wanted,
mm-hmm.
which is now the top teams play each other more often.
Yeah,
that actually will happen now. But then essentially the route into the Champions League is not compromised anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has essentially changed. You can still qualify as you always have, but then also keep that rule about your previous year performance, unless. I feel like they should give that spot to a team whose coefficient isn't high though. If they really want to keep this coefficient nonsense.
Yeah.
Although now some fans are looking to UEFA. Yeah, some fans are trying to campaign with UEFA to remove it.
That whole coefficient real.
Because you can't pick teams to qualify. It's the Super League concept. Without calling it that.
Yeah. Because then now you're just basing teams off of their pockets.
Well, not necessarily their pockets, but passability.
Exactly, but then, like, how far back can you look at their past glory? Counts as their past glory? Because then how long can you call a certain team if they've not won a lot? You get what I'm saying? It's like the same thing I was saying about United.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, if they were not in the Champions League for a while, like, would they still be known as having a high
coefficient?
Yeah.
Apparently,
what are they basing that on?
The coefficient
is just now their history.
No, not entirely their history. It's also based on the strength of your league, which is highly debatable.
Yeah.
But UEFA actually factor that into the coefficient. Like, if you finished third in the Premier League, you're ranked higher than the winners of the Portuguese.
Okay.
Even if like you've never played in Europe for like 10 years, both of you.
Yeah.
You'd be ranked higher in the European coefficient than you would be. Because in essence, it's a top 5 league.
Yeah.
So the coefficient is already boosted somewhat by that, right?
Yeah.
So I guess now your performance in Europe kind of boosts that a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the unfair of it is, it's literally based off the strength of your league, which Porto, for instance, have no control over.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it can be argued very easily that Porto are a better team than Tottenham.
True.
This year. But, because I don't know how they're doing in their league, to be fair, but they made it to, what, the quarters of the
Champions League,
Spurs.
Yep.
But, when it comes down to the end of the season, Spurs' European coefficient is better than Porto's. It's unfair.
It is. I'm not sure that's the way they should be basing teams' qualification.
And that's why they're on, well, that's what fans are
complaining about. Yeah.
I don't think all change to football is bad. That's also the thing.
Yeah.
I do feel like there's some aspects of the game that needs to change, or we need to alter somewhat.
That's what I wanted to ask. Why or when did they feel a need to make a change? Like, there was there a reason?
Yeah.
Which was?
Big teams are not playing each other enough.
That was the reason.
That's the reason.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
That's the thing.
Because when they do,
it's a big deal.
Exactly.
But they don't understand.
But then it's such a poor thing to now switch that and make them play each other
more often.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
The good thing about Champions League now, that's why everyone loves watching the draw.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we can get a big team. Yeah. It's a big team.
And then now it's a big deal of, oh, these teams are finally playing against each other.
Because now, also, with this new format, we know when they're going to play each other now.
Yeah. And then it just becomes boring.
Yeah. Like, talk myself into hating this new format probably now. Because now, as the season goes on, you know those top 8 teams.
Yeah.
No, like, the guys are already qualified now. So there's no group stage.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look in your calendar, you see you have a league game against, like, let's say Norwich, who just promoted the other day, You're playing Norwich over the weekend, but now you can look at your calendar to see where you're going to be playing Barca. You can see where you're going to be playing PSG.
Yep.
You can see where you're going to be playing City.
Yep.
And now you can plan accordingly to those beats.
Every season.
That's awful. God, yeah, I hate it.
There's beauty in football now when you're doing that whole planning thing. There's beauty in football seeing now, okay, then I have to plan for a team in the quarterfinals that I don't know. The draw happens. Boom, you're hit with the unexpected. Like, okay, now I have to prepare to face.
It's a
huge
team,
fixture. Yeah, exactly.
Or like a surprise team.
Yeah. See, there's beauty in that in the game other than just every season you know, okay, this fixture.
It's taking out something out of it now.
It was just driven by greed from the rich. Just wanting to make their pockets bigger with very little care about the fans and the lower teams.
Yeah. It's Super League Light, essentially.
It's
Super League Light.
Yeah.
In that not everyone is everyone is welcome.
Yeah.
In essence, everyone is welcome. Whether that becomes a reality is up for debate.
Which is why I'm happy with they pushed it to, or rather they stated it for the 2024 season.
I don't think it's going to go through.
That's the thing. Like, there's time to think it through, protest about it and everything.
Especially now.
Yeah.
After this. Fans have drive
now. Also, I think that was a blunder on Perez's part. Or the way they had pushed out saying that Super League is going to happen
as soon as
it can. I think that was also their blunder.
Yeah.
Because if for argument's sake, if they said this thing is happening in 2028, 2026.
Like, a lot can happen.
A lot can happen between then. And then now guys can understand and see, like, okay, maybe a Super League. And then, so teams, I don't think teams would have backed out knowing that there's no immediate need, knowing that next season you're not going to.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would have.
Even at over that time, point,
yeah, there would have been a lot of meetings, discussions, governments would have been involved. Like, there may have been a fair point in between.
Exactly.
Where guys were like, okay, they can understand this thing happening because they had time. But now you just say, okay, it's happening as soon as we can make it happen.
Yeah.
Then now that causes the panic.
Of course.
So I think that was a big blunder on their part.
Yeah, because immediate change is terrifying.
It's, yeah, especially on such a huge thing like football.
Yes.
On a global scale.
Change like football was like tomorrow.
Famous sport, exactly.
It's like he came out and said there are no more offsides. In your next game.
Yeah, starting your weekend fixture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, of course not. People are going to hate that. Perez, man.
And the people around him.
Yeah. He took this L, although he's refused to take it.
He's taking it.
he's taking it.
He's refused it, yeah, he's taking it by force.
But he's not shoving it. But we're shoving it in his face. Yeah. Like,
take it.
Take the L, bro. But. Yeah, because has he even said? Has he said anything?
I'm not sure.
He was supposed to do an interview last night, but he cancelled.
Yeah, because he was dropping out. Yeah, he was freaking. Yeah. He was not expecting this to happen.
Yeah, the gold seal will move regardless. With three teams.
Yeah.
How?
Like, it's a preseason.
Exactly. And like, he'd have to actually get teams from out of Europe.
Even with those three teams, it wouldn't make sense because there'd come a point where us and us and Madrid is like, yeah, dude.
No, I see a Clásico like six times.
Yeah. It loses its whole feel. You're killing the Clásico, if anything.
Exactly.
And that's not going to work. You, of all people, you own, you're president of one of these teams.
Yeah.
You know the damage this is going to do. But yeah, I mean, he's seeing his L now, so.
We hope.
Well, we hope, yeah, for now. Yeah. For now, it looks like he's seeing it.
Like, essentially, what has happened is we chased them off.
Yeah.
They're going to.
They're just going to plan.
Regroup.
Yeah, regroup. Restrategize.
When the time is right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they'll capitalize again off a period in the world where now it's smart to unleash.
There's a way he could have done this.
100%. He could have done this in a way where it. Maybe not accepted, but it would have been taken a lot more positively. Or rather, less negatively than the way it was taken now, yeah. I feel like he didn't really plan this through well. He sort of just threw it in there, hoping or expecting that people would be okay with it.
Yeah, like, I'm still of the mind revamping the Club World Cup.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if he said we're making a Super Club World Cup,
people
would be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But then they'd be like, huh, okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
They'd be like, what do you guys have in mind?
Exactly.
They'd have brought them to the table. Yeah. Like, share your ideas.
No set date or anything. It's just like
Super Club work.
Yeah, just show a proposal.
Exactly.
See what you're thinking.
Exactly. Because as it stands, the Club World Cup is only a big deal in South America.
Yeah.
This is the only place it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere else, it's an afterthought.
Well, and in Asia, because that's where it's played.
Oh, yeah, in Asia as well.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes. Not all
time. Yeah, sometimes. Because
we played it in Brazil.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's big in South America and the team that is hosting it at the time.
The team that's hosting it. So if they revamp that competition, actually make it, like, literally, you are the best club. Like, literally, a Club World Cup with all this Super League extravagance that they're trying to push.
Yep.
Like, added cash bonus, for instance, or something like that. Then, you feel like, okay. And then now, that also now, because it's the Club World Cup.
Yeah.
So you have to qualify.
Exactly.
In essence, so it doesn't lock out anyone.
It's funny how, just in its title, it being called the Club World Cup, yet it's the most.
No one cares.
Yeah. If anything, is just where you're sending your players to get even more fatigued.
Exactly.
Risk of injuries away from what you think is really important.
Yeah, because like followers of European football, they think about it as a chore.
Yeah.
Like, ah, another competition.
Yeah.
Where you should be like, oh, it's the ultimate competition.
Yeah. I do like it for
the
fact
that... Champions League's bad, man.
Yeah. That's what it is.
It is. But no one cares.
Yeah. I do like it because then it gives a chance of teams from outside of Europe to play teams
from across the world.
From across the globe.
I love that part.
Like, it's nice seeing, especially teams that have won, what is it, the CAF?
Yes.
African team who won, just going now and playing now with these other teams.
Yeah.
That's good to see.
That is
great.
I wish they made it bigger.
Yeah.
Like, essentially, instead of like the winners of the Champions League and the winners of Copa del Libertadores, and then the Asian equivalent. make it bigger.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to see more South American football teams play, more teams in Europe.
Yeah.
More Asian teams play, African teams. Imagine, like, 4 African teams make it.
Exactly.
That'd be dope.
That'd be really cool. But now it's just, it's a chore. It's a chore.
If they came in with that idea, you would have sat down like, okay. And you know, oh my goodness, imagine. It's brainstorming. UEFA, take notes. The Kill Nations League.
I don't even know why that thing is just beginning.
Stupid. Replace it now with this.
Yeah.
This Club World Cup. Mm-hmm. So instead of an international break.
Yes.
It's kind of international. It is an international break, but it's the Club World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
As of now, you're playing now the group stage games.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah, I mean, you need some time for, like, travel. So, like, let's say...
But now during those...
International break is, like, what, 2 weeks, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
It's 2... No, it's 1 week.
It's 1 week with games now.
But games
now...
from, like, Wednesday to Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay, it would take a hell of a lot of planning, actually. But if you could tweak that now into... a way in which you can turn that into now the Club World Cup.
Yeah.
It does. It grants people more interested.
For sure.
So broadcasts will get what they want.
Yeah.
More eyes. More money.
Yeah.
We, as fans, would get what we want.
Especially fans globally.
Globally, we'll get what... And, I mean, there's an argument, but players will be tired, but no, the players are still going to play internationals anyway.
Exactly. Yeah,
like, literally, you're replacing an England versus Lithuania game with Spurs versus someone, you know?
A team from Lithuania.
Yes! So, like, the players would still be playing, and then you can rest players during these games as well.
I mean,
the travel would be a bitch, but then you can segment it, like, I mean, travel right now is still a bitch for them anyways.
Yeah.
Like, there's a way you could go about this.
Yeah.
But...
smarter ways, but then you have players saying now that we'll shorten the time of matches and we'll create our own World Cup. This guy pushed it wrong.
They never should have let. Then what even third rate? What even third rate station was you?
IL
Chigu
something like that.
I thought that was like a banter thing. It looked like I was going to say something extremely bad. Let me just take that.
Wouldn't be surprised. It might even be his.
You know?
His, like, his own sort of station.
Man. It almost looked like it was a parody.
Yeah. It's, man.
I was like, no, this is actually him. Like, some of those quotes when he was talking about, as in, this is all about money, I was like, wait, is this guy serious? I was like, you know, the things that you don't say that.
Don't say such things.
Don't say that.
Like, you're pushing this all,
like,
wrong.
I'm sure his publicist and all those PR guys are like, oh man.
Jesus. They probably knew, yeah, this thing is dying tomorrow.
Yeah.
They probably called it after that interview.
Exactly.
Like, this thing is not going to go far.
Yeah.
Start seeing these things.
I bet he said even worse shit.
Wild things. I bet even then they look at him like, just entertaining all this BS. Exactly. Tell us more.
Because these guys know, oh, you guys are going to get views.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what an idiot.
Perez World.
Clown.
Football has been saved. Well, for now.
The thing is, football will always survive. Football will be here.
Yeah, yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
While the world ending. As long as there's a pitch to play.
True.
Football will exist. The game, people are talking about football dying. Will never die.
No, it won't.
I mean, I saw James Corden's. Did you see it?
I didn't know. I know about it, but I haven't seen it. I actually bookmarked it on Twitter.
It was very well done. He spoke from the heart. But then in it, he said that isn't this goes through football will die. Now people are like, football won't die.
Yeah, I don't think it will die.
As in, if it went.
Yeah, no, I don't
football
think so.
Won't die. I think. Football always finds a way to survive somehow. So, if I was to speculate what would have happened, in my mind, somebody goes through, Prem would have like, no, X these teams for the Prem,
mm.
then the Premier League would be hyper competitive.
Without the big
without
six?
Without the big six.
Yeah.
Then four teams from the Championship.
Mm-hmm.
I would say six teams, I guess. Six teams from the Championship.
Come yeah.
On. Now the Prem is literally now it's fair game.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you not get the stars, but I know for a fact those players would leave.
The ones now in the big six.
Yeah, those guys would be out of there. As in, you're telling Mo Salah that he can't captain Egypt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Are you insane?
I think when a lot of the players heard that he can't play.
Himself come collective.
When, yeah, the whole country would just
the
come.
They've come for him. Like,
get their king.
Exactly. Nah, he's not in this thing. Remove.
I think when a lot of players heard that they wouldn't be able to play, let alone Champions League, but for their national teams, especially their youth.
The youth, players. The youth were gutted. The Africans were gutted.
Yeah, Africans were gutted for sure. Like, I just feel for the youth players entirely. Like, you build up your career, you train day and night, you put in all the effort just for some rich old geezer who's trying to fill his pockets.
Tell you it's never going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So now you can't play for your country.
Imagine.
Just because of greed, it's a nightmare.
Oh yeah, a strike would have definitely happened.
It just, you even as a footballer, then you even think, now what am I doing this for?
Yeah, what's the point?
Now
essentially you'd be in it for the money.
And I think you'd see a lot of players start to, the age of now retirement,
yeah,
would have dipped, especially for players outside of the big six.
I think also a lot of the owners didn't understand that.
Yeah.
Because the owners are in it for the money.
They're in it for the money.
So they didn't think that the players wouldn't be in it for
that's
the money.
That's the thing. And that's why I think this thing failed, because the owners didn't have the key thing to push this thing forward, which is now the passion for the game. They didn't have that. That's what the fans have. That's what the players have. That's what the coaches have. They didn't have that. They only have their backing of their greed, but they don't have the love of the sport. And that will always win, as poetic as it sounds. But the love of the game will always trump what these guys are trying to do.
Of course. Yeah. As I said, football will always win.
Yeah.
Always.
Happy, dude.
Yeah. The fight's not over.
It's just funny how things can change in like 48 hours.
Yeah, it's crazy. One of the wildest weeks, footballing-wise, I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
Crazy. Like, it took all the excitement out of our game. All of it. If you told me a week ago that Leeds game would not matter.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing.
Yeah.
Especially after teams dropped points this past weekend.
Yeah.
Not even that long ago. Yeah. Like, you asked me on Friday. And, like, when Spurs dropped points, mm-hmm. if you asked me then,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to play.
Yeah.
This weekend's going to be great. The way I watched that game, it's like zero emotion.
No feeling, yeah.
Oh, God, I wish I never want that to happen again.
We hope that doesn't happen again.
I don't. I'm eager to see what the Prem does in terms of punishment. And I don't think anything's going to happen to me.
I don't think so.
I think what will happen is they have to pay a fine. Or
something. Yeah, I think like, first.
The punishment would be financial.
It would be financial. And I think UEFA, first of all, are happy that these teams have come to their senses.
Not necessarily come to their senses.
Or rather, they did not. Well, some of them. Not all of them.
Yeah,
because the UEFA president was saying, okay, it's good to see, I can't remember what he said word for word, but he says it's good that some of these teams have now come to their senses, and now they know that they're always welcome back into UEFA, and now exactly. We can make football now what it's meant to be.
Yeah.
But back in his mind, he's like, yeah, but cooler is fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Don't do that again.
Don't do that again.
Like, UEFA. It's we won this fight. Let's celebrate now. The battle is not over.
No.
On to the next one.
On to the next one.
But it was a good fight to win.
It was. The sport won.
Short.
Yeah.
But good.
Yeah.
And think it gave people the drive to now. I hope people follow through. I doubt. But I hope.
Yeah, we can only wait and see.
Like now a fire has been lit under UEFA's ass now when it comes to racism.
100%.
Because now this response was immediate.
Yeah.
Like literally, the guy gave a statement that day.
There was backlash immediately. Yeah.
Immediately, when it comes to race, the guy he won't even say anything.
Mm-mm.
Nothing. He leave it to the guy who does the draw.
Exactly.
Then the guys will be slapped with like what a 30,000 euro fine.
Maybe like a loose game ban.
And then now both parties are suspended.
Exactly. And that's it. Ridiculous.
It's okay. Yeah, their time will come. It's okay.
Yeah.
Essentially, the target is now moving. Now. Now they're trying to run as quickly as.
All eyes on them now.
Exactly.
Your parents come and say, yeah, you know, you wait for a racist. They hate all of you. I was told by UEFA that they only wanted only whites. Only white league.
It's UEFA is literally that guy of... It's that guy of, why are you laughing? You're next.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know, you're next.
You think you've won. We're coming for you also.
Oh, man. I think, actually, we can call it here.
Yep.
Because... Yeah, this is essentially the eulogy of the Super League.
Yeah, yeah.
It needed to come out now.
Which we needed to talk about.
Yeah. I guess we'll be back next time with our usual banter. But yeah, this one, we had to delve into Super League. So
let us know what you guys think as well.
Oh yeah, please do. Follow us on our socials, on Twitter and on IG.
Yep.
And also don't forget to buy us a coffee as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. The links to all of this will be in the description. And yeah, thanks for listening.
Till next time.
Bye.